Within the span of 2 weeks this March, three people who had earlier been affected by gun violence died by suicide. Two had survived last year's shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, while the third was the father of a student who died at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newton, Connecticut. A new paper tries to look at some of the long-term impacts of gun violence. Ali Rohani Rabar is an author of that paper. He's an associate professor of epidemiology at the University of Washington and directs the violence prevention section at the Harborview Injury Prevention and Research Center. He spoke recently with our co-host, Mark Brody.
What do we know and what do we not know about how gun violence and mass shootings affect survivors and, you know, other people who are there, witness it, maybe hear about it on the news or hear about it from friends? What do we know and what don't we know about sort of the lasting, the long-term impacts of these events?
Well, unfortunately, we don't know much about the long-lasting consequences of gun violence and mass shootings. And it is mainly because of lack or dearth of funding to really look at this over the past couple of decades. We know more about acute effects of mass shootings and gun violence, especially on mental health. Unfortunately, as I mentioned, the amount of knowledge and literature and evidence on what happens 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road is very, very minimal. We do have studies that have been funded to look at long-lasting consequences of, say, terrorist attacks, for example, September 11th, you know, 10 years into it. But we don't have the equivalence of that when it comes to gun violence and mass shootings.
Well, are other events, be they terrorist attacks or other types of incidents, are there enough similarities where we might be able to extrapolate from what we know about the long-term impacts of those to apply them to gun violence and mass shootings?
There is no doubt that there must be some similarities, some commonalities, overlaps between the long-lasting consequences of a terrorist attack and, let's say, mass shooting. But also at the same time, I believe there will be some distinct factors that separate something like a mass shooting from a terrorist attack or a natural disaster. One thing that we could conceivably think about as a commonality is many of these mass trauma events, they cause and they lead to severe mental health consequences. And we know that many of those mental health consequences are risk factors for things like suicide. So while we don't have the evidence directly, we can infer that there must be some severe consequences, even many, many years down the road after mass shooting and gun violence. The trouble is that until we study it, we won't know some of those distinct factors, some of those unique factors that may be related to something like mass shootings that separate it from something like a natural disaster or a terrorist attack.
Does it make it more difficult to try to figure out what some of those impacts will be, especially without the research backing it up? But given the fact that at least some number of these events happen in schools, which necessarily involve kids, does that make it harder to try to predict, especially in the face of not a lot of research, what the impacts might be later on?
It does. It does make it more difficult. And the reality is that not everybody responds to something like mass shooting or a gun violence event similarly. And the reality is that because of lack of research, we really don't know the target groups or subpopulations that may benefit from interventions more than other groups. I'm not advocating by any means for inaction. My point is for us to take informed action, we need evidence.
Well, so what can we do given the information that we have?
So here's what I think. I think a couple of things we can do. One is to expand mental health services in our schools. The reality is that trauma is a recurrent condition. Just as a person may be traumatized over and over and over again, a community also may be plagued by trauma over and over and over again, re-traumatized. So for us to be able to prevent some of these re-injuries, re-trauma, We need to expand mental health services in our schools. At the same time, I also believe in terms of prevention in the first place, we really need to focus on policies. There are important policies that have the really strong potential, in my opinion, to prevent some of these tragedies. Take one of them, which is the so-called risk-based firearm policy, the so-called red flag laws or extreme risk protection order. There are policies that we could implement that would create distance and space between people who are dangerous to the society and guns.
The issue of guns and gun safety and gun control, as you know, is so politicized, and that includes the issue of whether or not to do this kind of research. Do you have any measure of optimism that there can be more funding for more research into this kind of issue?
That is an excellent question. It's a very timely question. And the answer emphatically is yes. While if you had asked me this question maybe 10 years ago, I would have been much more maybe pessimistic about it. I am much more optimistic right now because I think as a society, collectively, we have come to the conclusion that we need to do something about this big public health and public safety problem, just like other public health and public safety problems, let's say opioid overdose.
Is there evidence to suggest that people who are not necessarily directly involved in these shootings can still be affected to some degree like they were or in some other way?
Really, really important point. So I think that is one of the main question items in the future to gauge the indirect effect of mass trauma, such as mass shootings and school shootings. There is no doubt that physical proximity to the zone of injury is severely traumatizing. But also, as you mentioned, there is another level or layer, which is emotional proximity. There are individuals who may not be physically there, but there are loved ones. They are the brothers or mother, sister, partner of those who were shot. The evidence from other types of trauma and mass trauma and other types of crime, for example, hate crimes, show that there is a strong indirect effect that could affect the totality of that group, however you define that group. So I feel strongly that there is that indirect effect. And that's a really important point you raise, because we often hear that mass shootings are only less than 1% of gun fatality in the United States. That is absolutely true. But at the same time, that realization that there is this massive level of terror or fear or trauma that could be generated after a mass shooting that affect the entire population or even an entire country, that is something that is not easily measurable. And that's sort of unique to these mass shootings events.
Ali Rohani Rabar is an associate professor of epidemiology at the University of Washington. He also directs the violence prevention section at the Harborview Injury Prevention and Research Center.